morning. Listen to them words. Listen to them words.
And my burden is not too heavy that He can hear a plea of faith. God still answers prayer. God still answers prayer. In His time, He'll work a miracle. He will never fail. Satan has lost the battle. When to the Lord you humbly bow, God still answers prayer. If you feel that life is hopeless and the
this morning. Thank y'all for that song. Boy, I needed that. God still answers prayer. Sometimes you think about prayer, you think about something God used to do back in the old days when the old saints of God and all that. He still answers prayer. God ain't the one to change. We are. Come on, Christian. Amen. This young man comes on the bus and boy, what a blessing it was at camp. And I want him to sing that little song there for me before I preach this morning. Amen. It's one of them lofty songs. That stuff like he'll be in heaven. Amen. Got his mic on for him, everybody? All right, go ahead. And He's mine. I don't know about you this morning. That does something to my soul. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm his and he is mine, buddy. You show me a deal better than that. You show me a deal better than that. I got enough Jew in me to know a deal when I see one, buddy. And I'm telling you what, that's a deal. His righteousness for my rags. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Let's open our Bibles this morning to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 6. Deuteronomy, the fifth book in the Bible. D-E-U-T. 5. Fifth book in the Bible. The book of Moses, they call it. And I want to talk to all of you parents this morning that have kids going to school this year for a few minutes. Tonight, we're going to talk to the kids. This morning, I'd like to talk to every parent who has a child going to school this year. If you are a parent with a child going to school tomorrow or in the next week or so or last week, would you raise your hand, please? Would you raise your hand, please? All right, that's the biggest part of our church. This is for you this morning. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 6. Well, let's go ahead and get 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. See what that says, parents? And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Stop right there just a second. Bible said that if you're a parent, you got a kid going to school, you are to talk to them about the Bible and the Lord's commandments in the morning and of the evening and at night before you go to bed. The best bet you've got of a child turning out right is to continually talk to them. My mom used to tell me all the time, she'd say, Danny, talk to them girls. Talk to them. Talk to them. And I learned it because she did to me all the time. She would continually inject little things of truth. And I tried to do that with my girls. I didn't do a perfect job, but I tried. No matter what happens, say something about the Lord. Say something about, well, that, you know that right there? That's the devil, honey. You know, then they'll learn how to recognize what's God and what's the devil as they grow up. This should be on our mind as our kids go back to school. Every once in a while, I get a letter, I get a phone call, or I was preaching in South Carolina, and this lady came up to me and she said, I've got 4 kids. She said, I'm trying to raise them right. She said, you don't know how much good it does me when you get up there and talk about your kids and your girls growing up. She said, it helps me. She said, because I think I'm facing the same battles you faced. We're trying to raise kids, and it helps each other. Now, the best school you can ever get your kid in is Sunday school. Sunday school. It's a school we have on Sunday. And other than that, they have to go by law to get their secular education. It can be a Christian education, but also, I mean, they have to learn reading, writing, arithmetic. That's what they used to call it. One old fellow got up and he said, the 3 R's ought to be the 4 R's. Reading, writing, arithmetic, and religion. That's what it ought to be. And that's what it used to be before this modern day group of God-denying Bible rejectors came out and started trying to erase God. And they won't even let you put a copy of the 10 Commandments on a school wall in this day and time. You might get away with it for a few days, but not very long. So we're going to talk about that this morning, and I hope that'll be a blessing to you. Now, the Bible teaches that we ought to pray with our kids. You ought to pray with your kids. I did not say pray for them. I said pray with them. it's obvious that we should pray for them. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, what's the best way to do for a teenage girl? And I said, grab her hand and bow your head and pray out loud so she can hear you. I used to do it all the time, every night. Ask them, they're sitting over there. When I was home, a lot of times they'd be asleep when I got home. And we'd have a babysitter or something right there with them. And I'd come in. But if I was there and they wasn't asleep, we'd all get around in the bed. And I'd say, all right, everybody, we're going to close your eyes. Close your eyes. They said, we don't want to go to sleep. I didn't say you have to go to sleep. I never told them you had to go to sleep. I told them you got to go to bed. Amen. Amen. I said, well, I'm not sleepy. I didn't say you had to go to sleep. I said, you got to go to bed and you got to close your eyes. And they said, well, I can't go to sleep. And I'd say, pray for everybody you know, starting with me. And by the time you get through, you'll be asleep. And they were, you know. They always say they're not sleepy. They always say that. They are. They just don't know it. That's bad when you don't even know yourself. Some of you adults are like that. I'm not tired. I'm not tired. You're so dumb, you don't even know yourself. You are tired. You just don't know it. They think they're not tired. Make them lay there 5 minutes with their eyes closed. They're gone. A kid don't even know when they're tired. They don't even realize it. And that's why you're a parent. You're supposed to help them with stuff they don't know. And they lay there and they'd say, like one little kid sat up and he said, Daddy, I want a drink of water. He said, you shut up and go to bed. I told you to get a drink of water before you went to bed. About 5 minutes later, he said, Daddy, will you bring me a drink of water? He said, I told you, you got to get water before you go to bed. Now, hush, you ain't getting no water. About 5 minutes later, he said, Daddy, will you bring me a drink of water? He said, if you say one more word, I'm going to come in there and I'm going to beat the fire out of you. You understand? He got real, real quiet. About 5 minutes, he said, Daddy, what? He said, when you come in here to beat me, will you bring me a drink of water? That's the way they'll do. That's the way they'll do. Now, do you know, to prepare this message this morning, I had to go back down in my mind, memories lane. I did. I sat down last night and I thought, all right, you know what you got to do? You got to put yourself in a kid's shoes. Sometimes we say, now, boy, go get your education and you study and read. Don't do like I did. You got to remember, they're not an adult. They are a child. You have to get down on their level. When we go out and talk to kids on the bus route, I get down like this and talk to them. We don't talk to them like, hey, little boy, get on that bus, you little brat. We get down like this and we say, hey, you know what? In a kid's world, everything looks different. When they run in here, think about running in here like this. All I see is the top of pews and big giant people staring at me. That's the way it looks from their point of view. All they look, they see your knees. They see that belt, boy, right there. I mean, they look up to us like that. I got to thinking about that. And I remember thinking, do I remember my first day of school? And I don't. I don't remember first day of school. But I do remember my first grade teacher. We didn't go to kindergarten. There ain't no use for kindergarten. There's no reason for it. But we didn't have to go. Didn't hurt me none. When they kicked God out, it used to be 12 years of school, the number of Israel. And when they kicked God out and added one, made it 13, the number of rebellion. And it don't do them no good. They can learn how to read and write one more year. Ain't going to hurt them. And they're too little to go that age anyway. Say amen. Need to be home with their mama. But anyway, we didn't go to kindergarten, but I remember my first grade teacher. Lord have mercy, she was mean and ugly. I thought she was the ugliest woman I ever seen in my life. Some of y'all had the same teacher up in Clinchfield, there in Marion. And I thought, a kid is scared of a mean, old, ugly teacher. They're scared of him. In the second grade, was when we moved to Nebo, and I had this teacher. Y'all help me now. She was so mean and so ugly that I couldn't stand it. And my stomach started hurting. Really, I didn't make it up. My stomach hurt so bad that I couldn't go to school. I wasn't faking. My belly was hurting. My belly hurt till I was in the 12th grade. But it really was bad when I was in the second grade. And they was going to take me to the doctor. Mom said, something's wrong with him. And somehow or another, my teacher, after about 2 weeks of school, second grade teacher at Nebo, she quit and left, and another teacher come. And she smiled, and she was easier to look at, you might say, to be nice about it. And I liked her. I liked her. And you know what? I done fine after that. And I thought about that. I got to thinking about all the things that I'd been through. And I got to thinking about my days in school. And so I want to say about four things this morning, all of his parents. Hope it'll be a help to you. One thing you need to indoctrinate your child in is your Christian philosophy and doctrine. Basically, the public school system does not have the same doctrine and philosophy that we have as Christians. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. We have a lot of good Christian school teachers. We have a lot of good public school teachers. Thank God for the ones in the public school trying to do right. Praise God for them. Hallelujah. Amen. But the basic philosophy of the public school is secular. And their belief is in evolution. They believe that we got here by evolution instead of creation. We believe in the beginning, God. They believe in the beginning, dirt. Now, when you believe two different philosophies like that, you are going to think and behave different ways. What you believe determines how you look at life. What you believe determines how you act. What you believe determines how you look at things. And if a person basically believes that there's no God and that we're just here for a short time and then we die and there's no eternity, there's no heaven, there's no hell, it is definitely going to affect the way they believe, the way they act, and their whole it changes everything. It changes everything. Me and you, as Christians, I look at everything through the lens of the Scripture. Everything. I don't care what it is. People say, oh, you have to bring the Bible into everything. Yes, you do. You do have to bring the Bible into everything. What's wrong with that? We're supposed to look at everything through the lens of the Scripture. In the Scripture, the Bible says God created the heavens and the earth. The Bible does not say that God did it by evolution. Man told me one time. He said, what difference does it make? He said, what difference does it really make? He said, couldn't God have just made everything and did it by evolution? I said, well, he could have, but if he did, the Bible's a lie. Because Jesus said that from the beginning, God made a male and female. So Adam and Eve were at the beginning of creation. There was no amoeba turning into a tadpole, to a frog, to a monkey, and then orangutan, then a politician or a football player. There was no such thing as that. It was God made man, male and female. So we have complete different philosophies. And because of that, they have the philosophy that man, you know what's the difference in us and what we teach in school? You have to teach your kids this. You have to teach your kids that at school, they're taught, for the most part, that man is basically good. And it's your environment that makes you do mean things or good things. If you're in the right environment, you'll do good. And if you're in the wrong environment, you'll do bad. We believe that the Bible teaches man is basically bad. You are bent toward evil. You are bent evil. You are born evil. You are born with evil in your heart, and you must be born again in order to get that fixed. You see the difference in philosophy. It sure does. There's a basic difference in our philosophy. We believe that God made man, put him down here on this earth, that the schools believe that we're all here and everything can be good if we make it good, and that when you die, you die. For the most part, not all of them. Now, this morning, let's think about that just a little bit. I want to say, second, you've got to teach them that. Now, you teach them that the people that they hang out with is one of the most important things you can teach your children. Because whoever they hang around, that's who they're going to be like. I remember the first remembrance I ever have of sin was on the school bus. I never remember, might have been, but I never remember any kind of sin in my heart before I went to school. I remember on the school bus, I was probably in the third grade, and these boys were sitting around me, and they were saying bad words. We called them bad words. That's what mom called them. My mom wouldn't allow us to say words that Christians use normally nowadays. She wouldn't even let us say them. words that are we would consider slang a lot of time. Mom would say, don't say that. That's a bad word. And words that we say now, don't even think nothing about it. People do. But anyway, these boys were cussing on the bus. They were cussing on the bus. And I remember thinking, man, this is bad. This is bad. This is bad. And the more I heard it, the more it wore on me, and it didn't bother me. I don't think I said a cuss word till I was about in the sixth grade. And I remember being in the sixth grade. I remember thinking, well, everybody else says it, and I said one. And I'm going to tell you something. I remember feeling dirty the first few cuss words I said. Can anybody else remember that? You remember when you first, you felt like you crossed the line. You felt like you'd done something wrong, and you felt really, really bad about it. Now, that's your conscience. God puts your conscience inside of a person. An animal don't have that. An animal don't have a conscience that bothers them when you do something wrong. But a person does. Now, if you'll listen to your conscience, it'll lead you to God. But if you ignore it and walk over it and stomp on it, it'll get to where it don't bother you anymore. I'll never forget that. I remember just as plain as day. I remember I going to school. I remember going home. I never went home and complained about stuff at school. I don't ever remember even talking about school. I don't think you ought to run down to the school every time a little old something happens to try to take up for your little brat. Amen. I know parents, Lord have mercy. I used to be embarrassed for some of these kids at school. Every little thing happened, their mama would come down there and raise a cane. I thought, boy, I'm glad that my mama don't come down here and make a big scene in front of me. Well, y'all are not treating him right, and he's a good boy. And you're just making a fool out of yourself because your little brat is just as bad as any of the rest of them in there. Don't run down there and cause a scene every time something don't go wrong. Now, if it's necessary and your child really is, but you know what I found out? 99 times out of 100, them teachers were right. When your kid comes home, they said, Mama, I was mistreated at school today. Before you go off, you better go down there and hear the teacher's side of that story. Because they can tell you their side and make it sound like, oh, how pitiful we are. And he discriminated against me because my teacher don't like me. And all that. You better hear that teacher because they're like them old circuit court judges. Most of the time, they're right. Most of the time. As a matter of fact, you're not doing your child a favor when you side with your child against authority. You're just not doing him a favor. You better take up for the authority and smooth it over. And because if you do that with his teachers, then when he gets in trouble with the law, he thinks you're going to come down there and jump on the law and he's innocent. And then you're going to do that with a judge and all that. Now, the truth is, I can tell you some stories. I didn't get in too much trouble. But we had this guy. We wanted to play ball all the time. There wasn't nowhere to play ball except out there at the school on the outside court on asphalt. And it's 20 below zero. We had this guy. In our group that we run around with, his daddy coached Little League team, so he had keys to the gym. Well, one of our little group, I'm not going to tell you who, had this bright idea. When I was little, I always had ideas. I still got a lot of ideas. I like Spanky. You know, Spanky always got an idea. I don't care what the problem is, I got an idea to get us out of it. I had this bright idea. I thought, you know what? I heard they made keys up there at Bill Pite's. I said, your daddy works third shift. If you'll get his key to the gym, we'll get it and we'll go make one and we'll take it back and put it, and he'll never know the difference, and we'll have our own key to the gym. He said, that's a good idea, Danny. So this guy goes, gets his daddy's keys. Listen, you kids, don't you ever, ever, ever do nothing like this. Brother Danny was not right. This was bad. But I wasn't wanting to steal nothing. All we wanted to do was shoot basketball. No, I always thought if it ain't hurting nobody, it's all right. And that ain't true. That ain't true. And so he went and got me this key, and we had a key made. So we had a key to the Nebo gym. And boy, I tell you what, we'd go out there about 11 o'clock at night. Everybody in the community would be asleep. And we'd go like that. The first time we stuck that thing in that door and it went click, we went, yes! We opened that door, and there's enough light shining through them windows that you could see in there. And we'd shoot basketball for hours and laugh and cut up. Well, that went on pretty good for a while. Well, one of the other boys got the idea. He said, well, look now, if y'all got a key to the gym, how come we couldn't get one to the teacher's lounge? So he got the keys again and had one made and got in the teacher's lounge, wound up having it to the principal's office. We wound up going in there, and them wicked boys that I run around with, all I wanted to do was shoot basketball. They got the keys to the principal's office. They had a ring of them, brother, and didn't go get them. They just took them with them and kept them. They had keys to every room in Nebo School. Then they got in the lunchroom, and they started carrying out chocolate milk. They had chocolate milk in these little things. Everybody was getting chocolate milk. They said, we struck it rich. We can go to school anytime, get chocolate milk, get drinks. And this one old boy, I remember they followed him one day, and he had his duffel bag after school, and you could follow him about as far from here to the back of the church. There'd be a chocolate milk carton laying down there. You could follow him all the way up front. And boy, he got in trouble. And I thought, I don't know about this. This is starting to get out of hand. And I thought, well, sure enough, somebody ratted us out. Sure enough, I knew it was going to happen. So you stupid boys, if we just left everything like it was, we could win in. See, the way we used to get into school, we'd climb up a side, and they'd leave one of them windows open, and you could get in that window, and they had a rope hanging down, you know, for whatever you call it, PE, and you'd come down that rope and fall, and jump in the gym and play ball. Well, we finally moved up and got keys. And buddy, when they found out we had them keys, they called us in the principal's office, and the principal set us down. It was old Mr. Kirstein. Some of y'all remember old Mr. Kirstein? Son, we were scared to death of him. He set us down. He said, I'm calling your mamas and daddies, and we're going to have a meeting. They called all us boys in there. They made us sit down there. My daddy. They called daddy down to the school. And I thought, oh, gosh. Oh, my goodness, he's going to kill me. He's going to kill me. My daddy went in there. He sat down. He didn't say a word. He knew I was wrong. And buddy, was he mad. And you know what they made us do? They said, boys, this is a federal offense. We could put you in jail. I said, no. You're going to put us in jail. They said, they put the fear of God in us, brother. They said, we could put you in jail for this. And I said, oh my goodness, they're going to put us in jail. They said, but I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go easy on you. We have big old field of weeds down there. They said, every evening, y'all are going to take a sling and a sling blade. You didn't have weed eaters. You had sling blade. Everybody used to wonder how you cut weeds before they invented weed eater. Sling blade. Anybody ever use a sling blade? You just sling it back and forth like this. Daddy taught me how to just sling it back and forth and just cut the weeds like that. And we was down there doing that. And every evening we sat down there and put them stupid, briars, black bushes and briars all over that. And all the other kids on the bus said, shut up. Cut your head off of this thing. And it was awful. And you know what? You know what? When I got in trouble, you know what? I got in trouble because I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do. Kids, it all, you say, well, you was hanging around the wrong crowd. I was the wrong crowd. That was my idea. It got out of hand, but I'm the one who started it. And I'm going to tell you, you know what I told my girls? I said this. I said, you're supposed to have just enough education where you don't have to look up to nobody, and you have just enough education where you don't look down on nobody. You look level with everybody. You know what I teach them? I said, ain't nobody in here better than you are. But you better get it through your thick head. There ain't nobody in here worse than you are either. Amen? Amen. Teach your kids. Teach our kids. We don't look up to nobody. We don't look down to nobody. We're all on the same level. We're all sinners. If there's anything you can teach your kids, it's when you go to school, you don't ever go in there thinking, well, I'm not as good as these people, and I don't have nice clothes as this, and I'm poor, and I'm... You're just as good as anybody in there. But you ain't no better than nobody in there. Amen? Teach them that. When I was in the third grade, I think, I had a girlfriend. Little red-headed girl. And she was little. red hair. And I'm going to make confession to you. I'm going to tell you about our love life. Every day, I think I was in the third grade and she was in the second. And I don't know what, for some reason we liked each other. And she sat right in the back seat of the bus. And I sat the same seat on my bus. Well, every day her bus would come out and go out where our bus was sitting there. And every day she'd sit in the back seat, and when she'd go, she'd wave at me. And I go, that's it. That's our love life. That's the closest we ever got. And I felt wicked as a devil. And your kids are going to do the same thing. They're going to do the same thing. I don't think I had another girlfriend when I was like in the sixth grade or seventh grade. And she's redheaded too. And freckles. And bigger than me. And I don't know what in the world was wrong, what I was thinking. But anyway, about all of them was bigger than me in those days. Your kids are going to do that. Like these two little boys, you know, you say, now my child is going to school. You better not like no boys. Well, I tell you what, you better thank God nowadays at least they like a boy and not another girl. That's how bad it is now. But you don't give in, parents. You don't give in. You don't just turn them loose. Listen. It is a wicked philosophy to just give in and say, well, I know my kids are going to sin, so I might as well just hope for the best. Now, don't you let the devil make you fight it, you fight it, you fight it, you fight it. Listen, I fought it with them three girls. We didn't win every victory. We didn't win every battle. But you tell them. You ask them over there. You ask them over there. I don't even see where all they all are at tonight. I don't see what I could say without embarrassing too many. I could be off preaching somewhere and I... Even in the last 10 years since Shining Light started, I get a text. Did you know that one of your daughters? Man, I'd take a fit. I'd call. I'd say, well, there's two of them here. One of them was safely already married, so you can figure out who the other two are. And brother, I'd raise Cain. I said, are you somewhere you're not supposed to be? Here's what you do. Phone dead. Phone won't answer. Phone won't answer. Phone dead. 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 Phone won't answer. Run in the house. I'm home. Leaving you the impression I've been home the whole time. You know what I mean? Listen, let me tell you something about your kids. They're little cons. They'll con the fool out of you. They will pull the they will trick you. Say, well, my kid's not your kid is a con, and they got it from you. There's not a woman in here. All you ladies in here, listen to me this morning. What in the world makes you think your daughter won't do the same thing you did? Why do you think that? They'll do what you did and worse. Unless you absolutely keep the reins on them. Listen, you raise Cain, you say they want to spend a night with somebody, good. Let them come over here and spend a night. Listen, I made it so fun at our house, all their friends wanted to come to our house. Corey said the other day, she said, all my friends want to come here and spend a night, Daddy. Because they can watch TV, they can go to ice cream, get Pepsis. I let them have whatever they wanted to eat. And you say, well, ain't you worried about their teeth? No, I was worried about their heart. Some of you people get as concerned about their heart as you are their physical health, you'd be dangerous for God. And listen, I'm going to tell you something else. It is still possible, and it is still possible for your daughter to walk down the aisle and get married and still be a virgin and save herself and do it right and do it God's way, and God will honor that. Amen. Even if you have messed up, your kids don't have to. Teach them right. It is possible. Lord have mercy, I've run out of time. I remember we used to get spankings, whippings, physical, corporal punishment. Amen. You say, I can't believe it. Yes, sir. And that's what's wrong with them nowadays. Son, we went to the principal, buddy. I remember them boys putting books down in their pants like that, you know. They look like SpongeBob SquarePants. they come in there, and my principal told me, you didn't say, I'll call my lawyer. You shut your mouth and didn't say nothing, you'd get worse. He said, Mr. Bird told me, he said, bend over, Dan. That's what he called me, Dan. Man, I've been over like this right here. They'd pull out a paddle about that long. Some of them had holes in them. Make blisters come up on you. He'd wire back. Them guys had no mercy, boy. I mean, bah! Knock it like that. I go, he go, bah! Like that. And I remember going back into class, and them guys sitting there just agreeing, saying, did it hurt? No, I didn't even feel it. I sat like that for 30 minutes. It felt like I was on fire, man. I thought I was going to die. I said, that ain't fair. I'm skinny. You'll break bones. I thought I was going to break my bones. But you know what? It works better than this junk. Look, if we'd have had time out, I would have loved that. That's what we wanted. That's what I wanted, time out. Duh. I'm going to punish you. You get to get out of class. Well, praise God. Let me out. That's what I want. That ain't no punishment. Somebody said, if I'd have known there's such a thing as ADD, I could have got by with everything. There wasn't no such thing as that. You said ADD? Of course I'm ADD. So what? That ain't no excuse to be a brat. All men are ADD. They just hear what they want to hear. Ain't that right, ladies? If they don't want to hear, they just turn it off. Let me say a couple more things and I'm done. Sports. Sports can be a good thing, but should never, ever take over a child's or the parent's life. There is a place for sports. As a matter of fact, I think sports are good for it. I think sports teaches discipline. Sports teach physical health. I'd a whole lot rather my kid have a sports hero than a rap star for a hero. I mean that. I mean, I'd 10 times rather I don't have no boys, but if I had a boy, I'd rather him like a football player than Eminem. Some fool like that. So sports are good, but if you're not careful with sports, they take over your life. I'm going to tell you what I think. You can do whatever you want to. I ain't your judge. I think it's when it's time for church, if we have a revival, if we're having something special at our church, if they have a ball game, they ought to be at church. And forget it, ain't going to kill them in this one ball game. They ought to be in the house of God. Because you know what you're teaching them? You're teaching them that God comes first. I appreciate Carrie sent me a text when they was out there at that race that Dax was in and said, Daddy, I know you don't like us being gone, and I miss it, and all that kind of stuff. But she said, I just wanted you to know, he got done with his race on Wednesday evening at such and such a time. He was soaking wet with sweat, come straight in, changed clothes, and went to church Wednesday night. You know where they learned that? They beat it in their head their whole life. It's okay to do other things, but when it's time for church, it's time for church. And you say, well, you don't have to go to church every time. You're looking at it all wrong, buddy. You're looking at it all wrong. Where's your priorities? God's the one letting your heart beat. God's the one keeping your brain working. You better honor Him. Put Him first. And then your kids are going to allow. Like, it's a pretty day out there. It's going to be getting picnic weather pretty soon. It's going to be getting picnic weather. I want to go on a picnic. Well, you don't have to work. You don't know what you're talking about. You're just using that for an excuse for your own wicked, unfaithful ways. I'm going to tell you something. We want to put the Lord first. And if you'll put these kids on the altar, get them here tonight. And let's get them in this place tonight. And I've got something real special for them. But if you're a parent, my heart goes out to you. In another 10 years, if the Lord don't come, mark my words. In another 10 years, if the Lord don't come, your kid will be made fun of. If they're not bisexual. Mark my words. That's the way the world's headed. 90 miles an hour. And I'm telling you, you mamas, get that sermon I got back there. It's Andy, make your copy. We'll bring it to tonight. How to make a man out of a boy. Let them little boys get out there and get their fingernails dirty. Don't make them a sissy. Let them little girls play with baby dolls. Amen? You say, oh, it's old fashioned. Yeah, I know. And buddy, we are in a wicked, wicked time. This world will mess your kid up and laugh at it when it's over. raise our kids right. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Every head bowed. Every eye is closed.